Almost live from a very cool corner in Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Ted Sampson and Christiana D. Now, push your earbuds in a little deeper. Here's Nate.
Back once again for another episode. Howdy, y'all.
What's up, everybody?
Hey.
Hey.
It's been an interesting week, has it not? Craziness going on in the capital city of Sacramento.
It is.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We got some gun talk, some Pat Robertson, and we're going to talk vagina later in the show, so stick around for that.
Yay. Mm. Oh, boo. Can we stick some penis talk in there, too, just to balance it out? No?
Stick some penis in there.
I did say that, yes.
Oh, dear.
That's how it goes.
Classy. Hey, Mom.
My mom still hasn't figured out how to get on the podcast, so I'm not worried.
My mom doesn't know about this either. We're going to leave it that way.
Okay. It's perfectly okay.
She would get mad when I would F-bomb on my blog, so.
Oh, no. Does she mad when your daughter F-bombs?
She hasn't heard it yet. She missed it. My daughter did F-bomb, I think, at like Christmas dinner.
But, nice.
But Nana didn't hear it, so it was okay.
It doesn't count if you didn't hear it.
Yeah. What happened if an F-bomb falls in the forest? Didn't make a sound.
Well, here we go. I'm hearing cat toys in the background.
Kitty.
Yeah, they'll go like weeks without playing with that trackball until the show starts, and then it's like, oh, trackball. So let's start out. Ted, how was your week?
My week was good. We had a fantastic Critical Hit show last Friday. All the geeks came out, and it was great, dude. It was awesome.
Off the hook.
It was good. And my vegan girlfriend is steadily moving her things into the house. And
that's nice.
Cool.
Yeah, we're doing it.
It's new for 2013.
Yes, right. So it's good. All's well.
I notice on Facebook she's giving away some things.
That's right. Popcorn popper, DVD player.
That was the treasure today.
Yeah.
What?
I can't hear myself anymore.
Oh, well, that's...
I'm off. I didn't know if it was like a thing to prevent the trackball sound, but I'm back.
Yay,
I'm back.
Welcome back, Christina.
Yeah,
thank
little
you.
Little short in the headphones. So cool. Everything's going swell with Ted.
Yes.
Excellent.
All is swell.
Christiana, anything fun this week?
Also had the awesome Critical Hit show, which was good. Watched the Golden Globes last night. Was pleased.
Right.
I liked... My little Tina Amy combo there. They were both looking smoking. They were both very funny. I like that kind of thing. Which leads me into, if you like funny ladies,
right,
you should go check out the Lady Business show on Saturday night, the Sacramento Comedy Spot. It's the only all-female improv performance in Sacramento. It's pretty fabulous. I won't be there. Which probably means it'll be even better.
No.
But we welcome a new castmate, a returning person to the Sacramento Comedy Spot, Michelle, formerly Murphy, now Dobner.
Yeah,
I think.
That's right.
Close enough.
Very funny, very funny gal. Awesome. So excited to have her on the team, but it's going to be great. So yeah, again, if you like, you know, Tina, Amy, you'll love us. It'll be amazing. You won't be able to resist.
Shows the third Saturday of every month.
Exactly.
The Comedy Spot.
At the Sacramento Comedy Spot.
Yeah, so that was fun. Golden Globes was fun. I was glad Argo won so much because I do love Ben Affleck.
Yeah, how much juice does George Clooney have in Hollywood when you are so afraid of him?
Much.
You are so afraid of him that you forgot to thank him in your acceptance speech and you send your wife out there to go, make sure you thank George Clooney because he'll have me killed if you don't.
He was sitting at a table, so I mean, you'd think that it would have been, he just had to look at his wife and like look to the left a little bit, but...
Right, but I mean, he had to do it publicly, thank George Clooney.
Do we think it was awkward when he was like, I love my wife, she's the most amazing ever, and J-Lo was in the room? Were you like, ooh, burn?
See, I didn't hear that part of it. I came to the party a little bit late. I'd forgotten about the Golden Globes. I was doing other things. I'm not huge.
As I was supposed to be. I'm going to publicly shame myself right now that I blew a very important appointment.
Ooh.
I wasn't going anywhere else with that. I messed up and I missed rehearsal for another fantastic show at the Sacramento Comedy Spot on the fourth Saturday of every month called In Your Facebook, and you guys should totally check that out too. So now that we've scheduled both of your Saturdays for the next, next 2 weeks,
everybody,
you're welcome.
Everybody in this room that isn't a cat is in the In Your Facebook show.
It's true. Ooh, can we get the cats?
I don't know.
Cat improv.
They're not good at improv.
Oh.
They stick to scripted more, really.
Put them on cat book. They'll be good to go. It exists. It does. Doesn't it? It should.
It's entirely possible that it does.
If it doesn't, it should.
Yeah, I became aware of the Golden Globes last night when I saw everybody going nuts over Jodie Foster.
Yeah. Do we have? Are we talking about Jodie later? Or is now the time to talk about?
No,
Jodie
we can
Foster?
Talk about Jodie Foster
what
right now.
What was up with that?
I've no idea. I went back and watched it because I missed most of it.
Crazy pants.
She sort of almost came out of the closet again.
Been, she's been out, yeah.
Yeah, and
she definitely talked about her co-parent and ex-lover.
Yeah,
and named her.
I think
and
the,
pointed her out. She was a woman. So
I think the weirdest thing was her open love affair with Mel Gibson.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, that can't be good. Does he accept her?
I know. How can he? Right? He's supposed to be this like pious fundamentalist Catholic. Which don't get me started on that.
He apparently
bizarro idea.
He's apparently fine until he's drunk.
Right, and then he hates everybody. But right. It's okay to be friends with a lesbian. Just thank God she's not a Jewish lesbian, I guess, or he'd really have to cut off the. He's a terrible person. He's a terrible, terrible person.
Just to get that out there. Yeah, drunk or sober, I don't know. He's that great a guy.
He's number one on my terrible people list, followed closely by Russell Crowe. I think.
Oh,
you mean like celebrities? You don't mean like comparing him to Po Pot or anything?
No, yeah, just celebrities. Like people where it actually affects my decision to watch a movie.
Okay.
Like I don't want to give him any play. And him and I'd say Tom Cruise is probably on that list too.
Ooh, see, now I don't support Scientology.
I will watch his stuff.
I really enjoyed Jack Reacher.
But I won't watch Mel Gibson films.
I didn't see that one. It was good?
I enjoyed it, yes.
Cool. All right.
I enjoyed it a great deal. It is what it is for a movie. And it was enjoyable
good.
For what it is.
That's good. Sometimes you got to see those kind of movies.
Yeah, it's. I had an expectation walking in, and the movie absolutely lived up to that expectation that I had. Would it live up to the expectation I have for, say, Lincoln? Absolutely not. Although I would love to see Daniel Day-Lewis as Jack Reacher.
Oh, there's a sequel.
he could be anybody, right?
He could be.
How about Jack Reacher and Lincoln in a buddy movie?
Ooh.
Have you guys seen Lincoln yet?
No.
I have not. I know how it ends, though.
Oh, man.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. He's assassinated.
I should want to see it. Like, I'm a government major.
Sure.
Or something. I don't know. I don't know if that really gives me a reason to want to see it. But I couldn't take the trailer seriously.
Okay.
Because I guess I expected him to, like, kill a vampire. It just seems so Oscar baity. Like, Daniel Day-Lewis. If I was making a spoof of, like, a movie called Oscar Bait, it would star Daniel Day-Lewis and Sally Field.
Mm.
And every prominent, white, super good, highly touted actor. They're all there. Like,
and it would be
they ticked off every box. I can't think of anybody who's missing from that film.
And it would be so easy to make the porn version of Oscar bait. The plot would be a guy named Oscar who's tempted by younger women. I mean, that would be the easiest thing ever.
Yeah.
Oscar bait.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Oscar bait.
I'm clever enough to work in porn.
Oh, dear.
Hey, like them apples. My week was interesting. I joined eHarmony a bit ago, because I'd done the free dating site OkCupid, and all that did was make me angry,
fair.
So I stopped.
I have two friends who married their Match.com matches.
Oh, there
and
you
they're
go.
They're still, you know, going strong years later.
Mm-hmm.
One couple just had a baby.
Every time I log on to eHarmony, they've got a picture of a happy couple, like, sitting on the stairs or something. And it's just
as
like...
all happy couples do.
That's where I sit.
Yeah. You know, and she's looking up at him, like, longingly. It's like, oh, I met on eHarmony. And part of... I know you're supposed to look at that and go, yeah, that's going to be me. But instead, I just feel like they're mocking me.
You're like, I live in a one-story apartment, you guys.
stairs.
I have an apartment.
I only have like one
cat.
Step. I don't even have a porch step.
I could sit on the step, but there'd be nobody to look longingly at me except, you know, maybe the cat from the window. So, yeah, I had a couple of dates this past week, or meetings. I'll call them meetings.
Ooh.
Because the first one's really a meeting.
Yeah. And it's like an interview.
Was it weird? Were they, like, nice? Did you like?
Well, it was a 50-50 thing.
Oh, okay.
The one that was on Thursday night, she showed up almost 15 minutes late, which I was...
Where did you meet?
We met at the Chili's in Natomas.
Oh, because
she was coming in from, like, Woodland.
All right, I guess. You know, we do have some nice independent restaurants in the neck of the woods. Remind me to tell you about them so you can go there and sit at Chili's.
Yeah.
I'd take a lady to Bella Brew.
Well, that's nice. But I just wanted
to... When you decide the girl's worth it, I would take a girl to Bella Brew.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first... It was like, well, because she was like, let's meet up for coffee. And I'm like, I don't really want to meet up for coffee at 8 o'clock at night.
Fair enough, yeah.
Plus,
a drink, maybe.
Plus, the coffee shops in Natomas close at,
true,
like, 6. So,
true.
So that was out. So showed up late, and I said, "Oh, was because it was the night of a Kings game," and I'm like, "Oh, was traffic bad?" And she goes, "No."
Unapologetic about it.
I was like, that's kinda lame. No, she did say she was sorry she was late, but oh. But when someone throws you a vine like that, mm-hmm. like, "Oh, was traffic
is that
bad?" You
what
go,
"That was gosh."
You go, "Yeah, oh yeah, traffic was bad. Traffic
Weird.
Was bad."
Yeah.
And then when she goes, "Well, so what do you do?" I said, "Oh, I work in TV. I work here." And she goes, she hits me with the five words that I am now going to use to exit every conversation with somebody.
Ooh. Ooh.
"I don't own a TV."
No, I couldn't. I can't.
Oh.
I know you guys. I know.
I own a TV.
You
Ted
own
a TV, owns a TV.
But you don't have any kind of. All but right. You're not like against TV.
No, I'm not so at all against TV.
That's okay.
And you it's a useful source of.
And you actually
watching.
Own a TV.
Does she not own a TV, but she does everything on her computer?
Yeah.
Oh. What's, is that so
that's
bad?
So
yes.
Bad.
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Okay.
It is so bad. Because. When I'd mentioned, because of course by Thursday, we had about 3 or 4 days of Kings are leaving. We'll talk about that in a second. And I happened to mention that, and she goes, "Huh?"
Nah.
Oh, she's
so
just attached
she's not really
in the universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't
right.
need a TV to know the Kings are leaving.
Right.
No.
You don't even need to be a basketball fan.
No, not at
just
all.
Just to care about like the economy.
What's, and what's going on in the world around.
Right.
So
yeah.
That one didn't go so well. But that's fine. You know, she's a fine person. There's nothing wrong with her. Just not a match.
Except for the lack of TV.
And yeah.
What a freak.
Not a match for me.
I gotcha.
That's the five words that are going to end everything. I don't own a TV. Unless it was someone just stole it.
If she packaged it with, here's the, I think I'd make a, you know, if someone was like, "Well, I just moved out of a TV. I'm experimenting with trying to do everything online." Like,
sure.
Maybe I'd give a pass, but not, some people say it like with a sense of pride and that.
Yeah.
Those people scare me.
I just want to hit those people right in the face. Because those, that for me, because of what I do is.
It's true. It gets at your
it would be
livelihood.
Like, it would be like if someone were a doctor. And you were like, "Yeah, I don't really believe in Western medicine. I just do acupuncture and herbs." I'd be like,
"It's quite an analogy."
Fuck you.
All
that's,
right.
That's kind of how I'd go with
so
it.
So that was the bad date.
That
what,
was
about
bad,
the, what about the good one?
The good one was, and this was Saturday, we met for coffee. It was freezing cold, and we were outside at Tupelo.
Dang.
Because there was no place to sit inside. It was full of people writing their screenplays and various important things because they felt the need to be seen out writing in public.
Is it sad the last time I went to work on a screenplay, I did it at a coffee place?
I did. Of course you did.
I actually do some
old soul.
I sometimes work at coffee shops that I'm not working on screenplays. We're not all douches that write in coffee shops.
No, I know.
So put that out there.
I'll just play one on TV.
I know that's one of my favorite jokes. If you're going to the coffee shop with a laptop, yeah, I mean, how does that thought process work? You know what? I'm going to do some typing today, but I'm not really going to feel fulfilled until people see me type.
I think it depends on what people are writing is very city dependent. Because I feel like if you're in San Francisco, they're tech writers, or they're working on their startup proposals and their like venture capital prospecti or something. Prospecti.
Yeah.
If you're in LA, they're screenwriting. In Sacramento, I don't know if you're by a campus, they're students or they're just
I'm
job hunting probably.
And I'm painting with
or they're Ted.
Here's an update for anybody who thinks I'm painting with a broad brush. Yeah, I am. That's what comedy does.
Oh. Because
if you want to get into the specifics of everything individually, nothing will be funny. You'll be one of those people for whom nothing is funny.
Yes, and?
Exactly. So Ted gets a pass because Ted works from home, so I can understand why you'd want to get out of that dungeon.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't want to talk.
When I was
when I was
studying for the bar, I'd be at a place with like books and my computer literally for 8 hours a day. At a crepe house by my house. And I'd pay rent. I mean, I'd pay, like, I'd have breakfast there. And
sure.
I'd be there so long, I would totally pay rent. So I wasn't just, you know.
Generous tips.
As opposed to showing like a fresh choice and just buying one plate and eating all day.
That would have been a better
always
choice.
A classy move.
And so to wrap it up, that one actually went better. We're going to meet again for dinner.
Ooh, where are you going? Where are you going to go?
I don't know yet.
Chili's.
Oh, let's pick a place.
It's not going to be Chili's.
No.
I have a couple ideas. I'm not going to pick on the podcast.
I went on like a first date once to Moxie, which was fantastic.
What is Moxie?
It's fantastic. It's on H and 21st. It's a tiny sort of hole in the wall place. It's a little bit pricier. Not like the priciest place. It was a little bit pricier, but it's very, the food's fantastic for one thing. And it's just got so much personality. Like the guys who run it, They come out and they just tell you, there's a menu, but don't let that limit you. They'll make you like whatever you want. They'll tell you a bunch of specials. They're like slightly rude, but they're not actually rude. They're just a little like gruff around the side, but they're amazing and nice. They're good about recommendations. It's like a good supportive restaurant for a date, you know?
Oh, nice.
You can go in and you're not worried about some dickish waiter being a jerk.
Writing fat girls on your receipt.
Right.
That's a way callback.
So I've got
that's a really good restaurant.
Well, I've got a few places in mind, but I haven't decided yet. So
you're gonna go like cash, you're gonna like kind of fancy.
I'm gonna go cat fancy.
Cat fancy.
Nice.
Has to be cat friendly environment. No.
with your cats in a backpack.
I wanted them to meet you early in the relationship.
Exactly. You don't want to hold that back till later. I mean, never get it right. So I'll figure that out, and we'll see where that goes. And so yeah. One out of two, not bad.
That's good. That's pretty good average.
So with eHarmony, you may go weeks without getting a match before someone will show up on your list? Or
well, no, you get matches every day.
Oh, okay.
But basically a lot of my matches are in San Francisco or in the Bay Area.
Oh.
So while I may be in their area in terms of distance, they don't necessarily want to come to Sacramento for anything.
Oh, yeah. Not even love?
Yeah, well, okay. So there's that. So there's that. And just because you get somebody as a match and you send them, you start the eHarmony communication, that doesn't mean that they actually respond.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of how it goes. So you'll get anywhere from 4 to 8 matches a day.
Interesting.
Depending on what your criteria are and your age range, and then it matches everything else.
Yeah.
So they do age range and distance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get people from, like, Chico, and I'm like, I'm not going to Chico.
No.
I'll drive to the Bay Area, but I'm not driving to Chico.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, that's how it works the other way.
Yeah.
There is, I did last time I did some kind of online, and I don't know if it was an eHarmony thing or maybe like a Craigslist thing, which is probably super sketch. But in the Bay Area, I feel like you can do more Craigslist stuff because it's just more legit there.
Sure. Oh, of course.
This was many moons ago, obviously before I met my husband, when I was in law school. And I went on a date with a guy, and I lived in a, you know, as many neighborhoods are in San Francisco, good neighborhood, nice mix of places you could go. Like, there was a bakery, coffee place, couple of bars. So we went to a bar, and it was one of those, like, typical cold, dreary San Francisco nights out. But inside, you know, it's fucking sauna, right? It's just hot. There's, like, condensation running out of the windows. It's kind of gross. So again, they're sitting down. He was a couple minutes late. No big deal. And he was just, like, sweating. He was just sweating so much, probably because of the difference. Like, he was rushing to get there on time.
Yeah, in the
and
cold.
So then he, you know, and it's sort of like, well, I'm not going to say, we both know he's sweating. I'm not going to say anything. And then he kept saying, he's like, oh, I'm going to be that guy, like the really sweaty guy. You're going to tell your friends you had a date with a really sweaty guy. I am. Please stop talking about it. Because it is kind of like, you need to, why don't you just go to the restroom for like, take a minute. It was weird. And so it wasn't really a great date, but I was sort of like, I guess I'll go out again, whatever. And so I had, in the meantime, like between dates, I had met somebody else.
Right.
And that was still in the beginning, but it was like kind of too late to call the date. So I was like, well, maybe, you know, who knows? I'm not tied on it. So we went to dinner. Wasn't that great?
Was he sweaty?
And we had both, he wasn't sweaty that time, but he wasn't necessarily a great conversationalist anyway. And so, so we had done this whole thing. We're like, yeah, we're not looking for anything serious. It'd just be nice to like have casual like dating, you know, it'd be nice, you know, explore the city with somebody, whatever. And so like, I didn't email him again right away, whatever. And then I said something like, oh, you know, this is nice, but I think, you know, whatever, moving on. And I get this long message from him. Oh, I see. This is like the slow brush off, right? And I call shenanigans, Mr. like, oh yeah, I went to casual too. Totally casual.
Now you know, geez. I was trolling on Craigslist.
Dude, and it was like 6 paragraphs of like stuff. Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, it was.
Come on.
Well, and one of the nice things about the date on or meeting on Saturday was we went there and she was in line ahead of me and she bought me coffee.
Oh, nice move.
That's nice.
Yeah, I thought that was very nice. And I'm secure enough in my manhood to let the lady pay. Some guys aren't. I am.
Good job.
It's
well
true.
Done.
It's true. If you want equality, you're going to have to step it up in all areas.
I feel like you should. I feel like you should just go to Moxie. That's nice. I'm really gonna push the restaurant. I think it's a good first date place. And I don't know any of the newer places in town.
Oh, so that's it.
Anymore anyway. Well, some of the places I would have liked the like closed, the economy's bad, it makes me sad.
The patio at Grape though.
Patio
places
though.
Like
always
that.
Always good.
Yeah, until somebody crashes it.
Always good.
And Fresh Choice.
Fresh Choice.
They closed down.
It did close down. Now it's some fancy thing. Have you seen? There's some it's like season something or other. Some big fancy Arden Fair.
Oh, I know it's fancy.
That's when I think fancy, I go to Arden Fair.
Not the K.
Not right, the not K. The K. For all of our listeners across the country and around the world, this is Sacramento Local Talk, where we live.
Which is just as cool as any other local talk.
Sure.
Because I'm secure in my cityhood.
Your Sacramento hood.
I don't know.
Now, we mentioned the Golden Globes before, but Oscar nominations came out, and Seth MacFarlane is the host this year.
Oh, that guy.
I love Seth MacFarlane.
I don't know.
So...
I don't know, Ted, tiebreaker.
I don't care.
There you go.
Sorry, guys.
Perfect.
I own a TV, but I tend not to care about. Sorry, so, Seth MacFarlane.
So he got some grief for making Hitler an early morning punchline. Apparently, making
he's only an afternoon punchline.
Yeah, wait a minute. He's the Family Guy guy.
Yes,
I like Seth MacFarlane.
There you go.
He has a tiebreaker, but vegan girlfriend does not like Seth MacFarlane, right. So it must be a guy thing.
I feel like vegan girlfriend's always here and on my side in spirit.
Yeah. sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
So this is what he said. He said, "I read a Moore was co-produced by Austria and Germany. The last time Austria and Germany co-produced something, it was Hitler."
Ted allowed it.
It's just stupid, but it's funny.
Exactly.
Funny, right?
It's funny, but that caught a lot of flack. So he took to Twitter to sort of divert his attention to another Austrian target. He said, "A lot of flap over that Adolf joke. Look, Amor was a great film, so how about this? Austria will give you the Oscar if you take back Arnold."
Ooh, fair trade.
Yeah.
I think so as
Austrians
well.
Austrians don't like him. I had dinner with an Austrian, and as I think he can speak for the entire country.
Sure.
He's like, no, we don't like him anymore. He doesn't speak Austrian German very well anymore.
I mean, speak Austrian.
German, sorry. I was going to get there eventually.
That's why, because he sold out his roots.
No, they just don't. Yeah, they just don't think he's super hot. And apparently they, unlike a lot of California voters, could recognize that he was not a very good.
Yeah, but we don't have an Arnold Schwarzenegger museum here. There is one there.
We made him governor.
They took his name off a stadium. They had named a stadium after him, like in his old town, and they removed his name.
What caused that? Banging the nanny? What caused that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's just, I don't like him.
All right, just
he
checking.
Was there last night. He was at the Golden Globes. Saw him there. Senator Dodd, I don't know why he was there, but
that's
I saw
odd.
Him sitting at a table, and then, you know, Bill Clinton.
I'm aware of Bill Clinton. so, you know Bill Clinton. Yeah, I do.
that was good.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, baby.
Oh, wow.
Gonna make you into a humidor. So,
nope.
Baseball.
No, you draw the line.
Talking baseball. Baseball Writers of America stood up, speaking of Arnold and steroids and stuff. Nobody was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I love that. That's my favorite, because I listened to like a half an hour program once about like theorizing who'd get in on the first ballot and what of this and that, and I just like that they were like, no.
Yeah. Ted?
Oh, no, no comment.
No comment?
I don't like baseball either. No. Yeah, I don't really... All because of steroids? Is that the reason? I didn't...
Well, that was kind of the reason.
Mm. Is like a statement. There's too many drugs in baseball, so we're not going to let anyone in. I didn't see who was on the ballot.
Oh, now I'm off again completely.
It was Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Mike Piazza.
Okay, all the poster boys
well,
for her.
Okay, but why would Mike Piazza know? Was he a doper too?
No, the biggest thing about Mike Piazza was that someone once said he had back acne.
What?
Oh, well,
I like Mike Piazza. Should he have gotten in?
No, he was a Dodger.
Hey,
he would have gone in as a Marlin, really.
What the what? Okay, just... That's terrible.
He's been he spent like
no one should have to go in as a Marlin.
He was with the Marlins for like a week and a half, between the Dodgers and the Mets. The problem is all of these guys that are being held out by the writers. And first of all, the writers are mostly old white guys.
So are the
and woos. No, the players so aren't old white guys.
Yeah, I mean the Cubans and the Dominicans and the. Japanese guys.
And Barry Bonds. And
Barry Bonds.
The Barry Bondsians.
But
yeah, there's one.
But they're basing their voting off of supposition, things that were never proven. No one tested positive. During most of
okay,
this time
Barry
here,
Bonds, we're not really.
But during the
time. Oh my God, are you guys both wearing Giants hats right now?
We are.
It's just coincidence.
Yeah. But whether you're talking Barry Bonds or whether you're talking Roger Clemens, neither one of them ever tested positive for a banned substance in Major League Baseball. And in fact, steroids weren't even banned in Major League Baseball until, I believe, 2004. So to hold people out of the Hall of Fame for something because you think they might have done something that wasn't actually illegal to do in the construct of the game is kind of a bullshit reason.
It's not like a technicality, though, saying that it wasn't. I mean, so we didn't get around to saying that this kind of cheating was cheating yet.
Well, they never said it was cheating. I mean, they
didn't break rules.
It's not cheating because it wasn't a rule yet. But isn't it a little bit... Okay, first of all, I think the whole thing's... The fact that they, like, convene congressional hearings over this crap is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, you know, if you're doping to hit more home runs.
But we don't know who was and who wasn't. And there were some writers who were like, I'm not voting.
Those pictures of Barry Bonds are pretty, the before and after, they're pretty compelling.
Circumstantial evidence.
Exactly.
I don't know. We need a lawyer.
It's true.
I don't do sports. You would, if I did sports law, I'd make a lot more money.
If somebody walked into a courtroom and sat in a jury box with that attitude with, oh, well, look at him. I mean, you'd get bumped out of the jury immediately. And there are writers who came out and were like,
I'll find out I have jury duty this week. I'll try.
Nice.
Ooh.
There are writers who came out and said, I'm not going to vote for anybody who played in the steroids era, which is complete and utter bullshit.
That's a little bit weird.
It is bullshit.
Yeah. And
is Earl Hershiser in the Hall of Fame?
I don't believe he is.
Hmm. I just have always liked him.
Okay. That's random.
I just wanted to share.
Yeah, I agree with you. Plus, I mean, Bonds and Clemens, I mean, they did amazing things. And, I mean, maybe the steroids helped, but I can't imagine that helped take, you know, cover any lack of... I mean, they had a lot of talent in the first place.
So how many years until we found out that Michael Phelps was using something that has not yet... They haven't developed a test for
it? I think he's half horse. I really do.
Okay.
And that's just his face.
Oh.
I know. But Craig Biggio didn't get in. He's got 3,000 hits, and no one ever accused him of using steroids. He's Ted's size. There's nobody
he's
who would go...
Massive and strapping?
Amazing. Exactly.
I'm never going to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I've been.
I don't know where it is.
Cooperstown, New York.
Oh, yeah, I
think
you
wouldn't
that.
Be voted into it.
Middle of
no,
nowhere, New
too.
York.
I've been to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
As have I.
That was in Toronto.
Yeah, it is. It's part of it's in a bank, but the entrance is in a mall.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Part
sad.
Of it was kind of fun. It was a very well-done museum. I don't care about hockey, but it's a fabulously done
place. Oh, yeah. Canadians do a nice job.
But hockey, man.
The Football Hall of Fame was very nice, too. I haven't been to the basketball one, but I've been to the other three major
Hall
ones.
Of Fame. We have a sports Walk of Fame in my hometown. I just thought I'd
what
share.
What sports figures are there?
I don't remember, but lots of famous ones come from where I live.
Oh.
Some famous ones, and I'm just, you guys keep podcasting, I'm going to Google
sure.
them.
Sure.
Okay.
We'll move on from baseball to basketball. The big rumor, of course, in Sacramento and Seattle over the past week or so is that the Kings are leaving. But are the Kings leaving?
I've heard that before.
We don't know. And the problem is, all of the rumors came out that the Kings were leaving, and things were leaked that the Kings were leaving, and that they were going to Seattle for $500 million, and then for $525 million. But nobody is saying anything, least of all, not the Maloofs. And meanwhile, our beloved mayor, and when I say our beloved mayor, I mean our mayor, who I love, but everybody else seems to hate.
Really? You love him?
I don't love him. I think he's fine. I'd hug him.
You tolerate him?
No, I like him. I like KJ. Has put together what he says could be a $400+ million bid to keep the Kings here, which when you factor in the franchise relocation fee and the loan that the Maloofs owe the city of Sacramento, would even things out. But the problem is, we don't even know that the Kings are for sale or that they're moving, but it's been just a crazy, crazy week. And
Steve Garvey.
Steve Garvey, notorious philanderer.
Whatever, he's still good at baseball. What's your point?
There you go.
It's not against the rules.
You're willing to let it... Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to let it go for drugs, but...
Oh, I don't care if he gets in the Hall of Fame. I'm not very caring today. I should try.
He's just on the Walk of Fame. I'm just sharing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Steve Garvey's not quite Hall of Fame caliber, but he was a good player for the Dodgers. So this whole thing with the Kings. Ted, what was your initial reaction when you heard that the Maloofs were selling to Chris Hansen? And not the Dateline NBC, yeah, Chris Hansen.
I do not like the Maloofs. I mean, I don't. I kind of tuned into this thing, you know, with the deal they struck with the city a while back, and then the deal falls through, and they just don't know what they're doing, and they don't know how to manage a team. So I kind of want the Maloofs out of town, if that means losing the Kings, too. Well, but, you know, then again, I'm not being opinionated here, but it's good to have a basketball team in your city, I'm told.
Yeah. Well, when you look at best places to live, that's included in like the bonus parts, like having a symphony orchestra or having lots of parks and and that sort of thing.
Plus, I mean, it generates revenue, and, you know, I understand the benefits of having a good team, and I would like, you know, I'd like for them to stay. I just don't want the city to be screwed over and have to give over all its parking revenue to keep a basketball team in town. Plus, I hate the fact that Maloof has not paid us back for the money that they borrowed for the for that other arena. I think that's bullshit.
I don't. They need to go. They haven't been willing to sell. I wish I would totally vote to tax myself extra so we could buy the team. Like,
right.
Like you said, like Green Bay style.
Right.
But, I mean, I get this feeling that even if we came up with more money than what Seattle was going to pay.
Right.
I still feel like they're going to be like, and go. I mean, forever. I don't see this ever not being an issue. But it's also Sacramento's fault.
Partially.
I don't care how much the game sucks. You love this team so much, people need to effing go. But they don't go to the games.
Yeah, that is part of the issue. They're
go to the games, you guys. Even if they lose, it's not like the Red Sox were in danger of leaving Boston when they sucked for so many, many years. They were like, that was like their thing.
Or the Cubs.
Or the Clippers.
But to point at, I don't think the Clippers are a good example.
The Clippers.
Well, they suck and they weren't going anywhere.
And they've got a terrible owner. Their owner moved them from San Diego to L.A. because he was making a shit ton of money to have a terrible team. And for when they were playing at the Memorial Arena or whatever it was called there, before they moved to Staples Center, the Civic Arena, I think it was called.
The Forum?
No, they did not play at the Forum.
The Clippers.
The
Sorry.
Clippers.
And I don't know where they play.
The whole thing was they play at Staples Center now.
I don't know the Clippers. I don't know why they're not still green.
But they basically, he had like the worst practice facility, worse setup, didn't pay any scouts. He cheaped out on everything because he made money with the team. And that's what some owners do. It's like, oh, I can make all of this money. And they don't seem to understand that owning a professional sports team is sort of like being in partnership with the public. Yeah, it's great that you can make money, but your franchise should be a point of civic pride, not just a way for you to bankroll everything else in your lifestyle.
Mm, yeah.
That's kind of the public trust thing that goes along with it. So, in meantime, in Seattle, they're all like, yeah, we're bringing back the Sonics. We're excited about it. We're going to do it. And I feel bad for them because they lost their team as well. But the problem is the guy who's the head of the relocation committee is the one who owns the Oklahoma City Thunder, who moved from Seattle. So, it's not like he's going to get all high and mighty and go, hey, now. I don't know that you can do that.
Oh, man.
So, that... crazy week, though.
Those Maloofs are tools.
Yeah, I think everyone can agree. Maloofs are bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maloofs are bad, okay? So, yeah, let's move on with the show.
The Nate Darling Show.
Ooh.
Cool.
Or
tool.
Whoa. All right, let's start out. Cooler tool. The Baseball Writers of America for not electing anybody into the Hall of Fame. Ted.
Tools. Come on, guys. It wasn't against the rules to take steroids. Let the players in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine. Cool.
They're tools. Self-aggrandizing hypocrites.
Yeah, they're all drunks anyway.
Pretty much.
That's where they get their good writing prose from.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know. I'm a writer.
Writers have so much control over everything and always get what they want.
I think they're just bitter because the newspaper industry is dying slowly underneath them. They're bitter and angry.
Too soon, man.
Bitter and angry. Sorry.
That's me.
Up next in Cooler Tool, the city of Seattle. Christiana, let's start with you.
City of Seattle.
Yeah, they want our team.
The city of Seattle is still pretty cool on its own. And I don't think that they are the tools for trying to take advantage of the opportunity. But the Maloofs are tools.
So, Seattle cool then?
Yeah, Seattle's cool.
Ted?
Seattle's okay.
Seattle's cool unless they're the one leaking these rumors that we're getting this our new Supersonics back. But yeah, I have no problem with Seattle. It's a cool place.
Yeah, Seattle's cool. I can't really blame them. I mean, it's an opportunity to get a team back if you've lost one, and it's what you got to do. I think the leak is coming from the Chris Hansen camp, by the way, because they're the only ones that have anything to gain by leaking it.
Hansen.
Trying to put pressure on the Maloofs to actually finish this deal. And finally, in Cooler Tool, Seth MacFarlane hosting the Oscars. Christiana.
Tool.
Ted?
I like Chris MacFarlane. Seth, sorry, I just called him Chris MacFarlane. I like him, but I don't think... I don't know. I can't imagine his humor is going to translate for the masses. So I think it would be cool.
He did okay on SNL.
Yeah. I'm going to go cool because it can't be any worse than James Franco and skinny Les Miserables chick. So there you go.
No, it's true. But it can't be as good as Amy and Tina.
No, that sounds, that's quite a duo.
But nobody asked them.
Funny, funny ladies.
They are. They're funny. And Amy Poehler showing some inner boob last night.
Inner boob?
Inner boob. Not, there's side boob. There's under boob. I like to call it inner boob.
Okay. Is you'd, that you'd cleavage? Call
it, no, because they weren't. Cleavage is when you press the bosoms together.
Side boob.
Oh, like the inner side boob.
It was inner side boob.
That's cleavage. No, it's cleavage even if they don't press together. It's still cleavage.
I don't know.
Some
only...
ladies... Hey, excuse me.
What?
I believe I'm the only person here qualified to speak on the topic.
Oh.
It's just cleavage.
Okay.
That's cleavage.
I'm with you. I think you're right, but it's cool, whatever it is.
Right. It's not décolletage.
No, that would work too.
All right. Speaking of décolletage, Pat Robertson says awful looking women are ruining marriages.
That guy.
Pat Robertson's ruining marriages.
That guy can start paying for my spa treatments then.
Because he's got you so stressed out.
We're tired, you bastard. It's hard, okay?
Stressed out. So, apparently, this all started with a 17-year-old boy writing into Maxim magazine complaining that his father never pays any attention to his mother. He says, I'm 17 years old and I've noticed there's been a change in my father's behavior. He spends too much time at the computer playing a war game. I've noticed how alone my mom feels. I just want my father to spend more time with my mom. What should I do? How can I talk to my father? I feel shame for him. Please help. So, Pat Robertson, who apparently reads Maxim now. That's
yeah,
what I take away from this.
That part was weird. That I raise an eyebrow over that, too.
Well, yeah.
Not only reads it, but writes for it? Or no, he posted it on his own?
Apparently. He's
like
got a...
Was it written for Maxim, his response?
No.
It was somewhere else.
No. Okay. It was on 700 Club.
Of course.
That's where he has free form. That's his podcast, really.
Yeah.
So he started off with the suggestion that the boy try to get his parents out of the house on some type of romantic weekend getaway. The romance is obviously going out of the marriage, he said, which that's not necessarily bad advice. You know, get out of the house, change the location.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's sound.
Rekindle, blah, blah, blah.
But then he...
Tell your parents you're sorry you came along and ruined everything.
Well, it's 17. I mean, you need to get over that. I mean, come on.
17 long years.
So then he sort of changed his tone a little bit. He said, you know, it may be your mom isn't as sweet as you think she is.
Yeah.
She may be kind of hard-nosed.
Sure.
And so you say, it's my father. He's not paying attention to mom. But you know, mom, he trailed off and chuckled a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you, again, not necessarily a bad viewpoint. Maybe that is part of it. Maybe mom did get hard, and maybe dad did pull away because of that. I'll even give him that point. But then he launches into an old joke. And when I say old joke, I mean horribly offensive.
Catskillian, I believe.
Yeah. And here it is. A woman came to a preacher I know, so it's funny. She was awful looking. Her hair was all torn up and she was overweight and looked terrible. So Pat then chuckled to himself a little bit and she said, oh, Reverend, what can I do? My husband has started to drink. And he said, and the preacher looked at her and said, madam, if I were married to you, I'd start to drink too.
Oh, she's so unattractive. a religious man would drink.
And then Calvin Coolidge said,
right. Any young
but
take
in the
my
morning
wife.
Ma'am, I will be sober.
Take my wife, please. I didn't put him in cooler tool because I knew who that would go.
There's no way.
He's the poster boy of Tool, so
yeah. I was sort of there with him for part of it because a lot of times you look at a situation from the outside and you go, oh, well, you're not doing this, it must be you. And in reality, it's probably a little bit of both of them.
Yeah.
So I was okay for a while, but then Pat Robertson lost me.
Oh no!
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
He had me in the palm of his hand,
so
and then he
close.
Let me go.
A sheep has strayed from the flock.
Very
oh,
much
Nate,
so.
You've fallen like Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden. I don't know. It's all Eve's fault. We all know that, right?
Yeah, it is. Well, she did.
She
according
the
to
apple.
The according to the story, and she tempted Adam.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't really
and
mean
he
that.
He took the bait.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sucker.
Now speaking of bait, and I don't know, this isn't bait.
Oscar
at all.
Bait.
Oscar bait. I mentioned handguns or guns earlier. The state of Tennessee has suspended the handgun carry permit of a James Yeager, who's the CEO of Tactical Response, who recently said he would start killing people should President Obama take executive action on gun control. State officials explained that they revoked the permit because of Yeager's material likelihood of risk of harm to the public.
Really?
Well, he teaches... First of all, he teaches people firearms and tactical training. That's his company. So they went on. The number one priority for our department is to ensure the public's safety. Mr. Yeager's comments were irresponsible, dangerous, and deserved our immediate attention. Due to our concern, as well as that of law enforcement, his handgun permit was suspended immediately. We have notified Mr. Yeager about the suspension via email. He will receive an official notification of his suspension through the mail. Because, as you know, it's not official until the mailman shows up with it.
Well, I feel safe already. Because he was about to unleash a barrage on someone.
I mean, what are you supposed to... What?
Well, let's listen.
This guy says...
Well, let's listen to what he had to say. And
if he said, I'm going to kill the president, he's going to get a visit from a specific branch of it.
Right.
Oh. If he just starts saying, I'm going to kill, like, general people, he should also get a visit from somebody.
Well, let's listen to what he said in his own words.
Fuck that. I'm telling you that if that happens, it's going to spark a civil war, and I'll be glad to fire the first shot. I'm not putting up with it. You shouldn't put up with it. And I need all you patriots to start thinking about what you're going to do, your damn mags, make sure your rifle's clean, pack a backpack with some food in it, and get ready to fight. I'm not fucking putting up with this. I am not letting my country be ruled by a dictator. I'm not letting anybody take my guns. If it goes one inch further, I'm going to start killing people.
Yeah, fighting words, not protecting.
Well, it just went an inch further, didn't it? Is he going to start his little civil war now that he doesn't have a permit? Oh, wait, he can't start a war because his permit's been taken away. Well, you guys feel safer now?
Well, he doesn't have he can't carry a pistol now.
Oh, okay. So
legally.
That's what I'm saying. I'm laughing because it's such a stupid, toothless. What is it? It's just dumb.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have a permit now.
So what do we do instead? I mean,
I don't have a solution. I'm just saying it's a dumb...
Take his guns.
Well, they're not taking his guns. He just can't carry them in public.
Okay.
So he's lost his open carry permit. He can pack the guns in a case and go to the shooting range and shoot them. No one's taking them away from him. He just can't go out in public with one strapped to him.
Well, he doesn't have a right to make...
threats to kill people.
Yeah, he doesn't. Fighting words. He has no First Amendment protection.
Of course not.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I don't know what the solution is, but I just don't see that as toothless a response to gun control as anything else. That's not quite so true, but it's. I don't know. I'm not impressed.
Now, meanwhile, you say Tennessee. People are crazy in Tennessee. It's the South. Well, meanwhile, to our north in Oregon.
Did you say that?
People say that.
Okay.
It's true.
You can put it in post.
in Portland, Oregon, there were a couple of guys who decided to walk through the city with guns to educate.
I hate 22-year-old dudes. I never I never dated them. I did when I was significantly younger than when I was 16. I never dated them past that. And yeah. Because this is the kind of stuff that when you're 22, you're like, yeah, look at me.
Well, they said
I'm the shit.
They said they were exercising their Second Amendment rights, but police said that they were
douches.
Just scaring people.
Congratulations. I would be, if I saw people doing that, I'd freak out.
Congress, two men armed with rifles walked right through the streets of Portland, but it wasn't to terrorize the public, rather to teach them a lesson in gun control. The two say they were simply exercising their Second Amendment rights to bear arms. But police say they caused quite the scare in the Selwood neighborhood this afternoon. KPTV's Caitlin Bolduc has more on the pair's unsettling demonstration.
Their methods may be extreme.
We're not threatening anyone. We don't have that kind of criminal behavior.
He's wearing a camouflage head covering, and he's got a semi-automatic rifle strapped to his back.
No, who would freak out over that?
Here in Portland.
Liberals.
This happens to open in that line of communication. To let people know that you can defend yourself in a time of crisis or any time.
Or any time. If you're like, I said, give me the right change, barista.
Yeah. I said non-fat soy latte.
That ended up creating a state of panic in the Selwood neighborhood. Employees inside of
people yelling at them.
Studio hid in the back room of the salon and locked their doors, while others ran for help for fear the two were really there to cause harm.
If you're scaring people, you're not advancing your cause.
Collie,
so it's not the ideal way try to present your point of view.
When officers arrived, they found the two were both valid concealed handgun license holders in Oregon, and legally, they weren't breaking any laws by openly carrying a gun in public. However, even area gun owners who heavily support Second Amendment rights couldn't seem to get behind the two's off-the-wall tactics.
The two's.
Just to prove a point, to open carry and freak a bunch of people out, I don't think it's necessary.
It's so close to all of the other shooting incidents and all of the hullabaloo about gun
control.
So I think there's a
How
time
old do you think
place.
That guy was?
Not so, as old as Pat Robertson, but up there.
He's close.
Shock me, shock me, shock me with that deviant behavior.
He's close. So not only is that kind of weird, there was a mall shooting in the Portland area not more than a few weeks ago.
These guys are insensitive dicks who've never had to deal with loss or pain.
Yeah.
Tools.
But they have a right to carry. Ugh. They have a right. You have a right to defend yourself in times of crisis or whatever.
It's like those guys. I mean, they had the guys right after Obama was elected, or last time we talked about getting, I can't remember what incident caused them to do this, but the ones who were showing up to Obama appearances, waving the "Don't Tread on Me" flags, and openly carrying their rifles because
right.
they can.
That's
Look
fantastic.
At me! I can carry it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do it. You can do a
I
lot of things.
I will never actually face legitimate gun violence in my life, so I better be ready to protect myself from angry deer and the myths that I've created to tell me why I need to have all these guns.
Maybe they could come and hang out in Midtown Sacramento. Then they could face some gun violence.
No, but I mean, seriously, the people who have the most to fear from gun violence are probably the least enfranchised, least full of hope people. They don't have... These dicks don't have to deal with any of those problems. They don't. They're never going to have to send their kids to school,
right.
except worrying about the infinitesimally small chance of a school shooter situation. They're not going to worry about sending their kid off to school and are they going to get shot on their Oakland street on the way there or back? Are they going to get shot on their Compton street on the way to school or back? Are they going to get shot in their car going to the grocery store? Are they going to get shot when they're at the barbershop? They're never going to have to worry about any of that crap. But let's make sure those people get to carry all the guns they want all around town.
Well, they're worried. What they're worried about is they're worried about the government taking over. And I think they've seen Red Dawn one too many times.
Yeah.
With the thought that you and your five assault rifles are going to hold off the military power of, well, any industrialized nation, let alone the Army of the United States of America.
They hold so fast to the, you know, the Constitution's the Second Amendment that they forget the of the people, by the people, part of founding documents, and that we are the government. It's like once someone gets elected, they achieve this mythical status, and they're part of some, you know, like Illuminati, orange jumpsuit wearing power thing, and they're all just controlled by whatever. Just vote the fuckers out. If you don't like things, people have so much more power than they think, but it's way easier to sit at home and be like, I'm going to hold my gun because government's going to come get stuff, and I can't compete with the No, yeah, you can.
If you're that impressed with the power of government, go to a city council meeting.
Yeah.
And if you can stay awake through, that's their power. They stay awake through long meetings.
I will dull you into submission, people.
I have the power to stay awake through long, boring discussions about shit that doesn't even concern
Garbage
anything.
Garbage collection rates.
Mm-hmm.
It's real.
That's what it's going to do. Am I right, Ted?
I hate those guys. Put them on an island with their guns. Let them sort it out.
Well,
create a democracy that will be ideal and wonderful with guns everywhere.
But education isn't always bad. Sometimes it's good. And tampon manufacturer Kimberly Clark has a new series of ads.
There must be a segue somewhere between these two things, but I don't know.
There it is. It's
dudes cling to guns. Girls cling to tampons.
Well, they went to the streets of Portland to educate people about guns. Their hope was that people would come up to them. Because when you see two dudes walking down the street with semi-automatic assault rifles...
When you shoot them, what if they went by a school and someone else saw them and was like, oh my God, now I'm going to use this gun to defend those kids that are about to get shot. I'm just going to shoot these guys. Like, I'm going to kneecap them.
Yeah,
because
that?
Then they can't get anywhere to shoot anybody else.
Yeah, it's like the Florida law where you can shoot someone. I feel threatened. I'm going to shoot in the
right?
face. He had a gun. It's so stupid.
Well, there you go.
And not cool. Let's talk about tampons. That sounds cool.
Well, it's not really tampons per se. But
I don't know why that disappoints me.
Well, it's okay. It's the tampon manufacturer, Kimberly Clark, has got a new series of ads, which veterans of periods, that would be gals, explain about the wacky vagina myths that they once believed. Let's take a listen.
The boogeyman is under the bed until you're 8, and you're told firmly that the boogeyman is not under the bed. But no one is going to tell, you know, a 20-something-year-old girl, no, really, the tampon will not get lost inside of you.
You know, I can actually dispel that. It can actually get lost inside of you to the point where you would have to have somebody else help fish it out.
What?
It's happened.
Okay.
Not to me.
There were a lot of horror stories about tampons getting lost inside of you.
We were afraid of them. You would lose them.
in your vagina.
I sincerely believe that if you get your period and you want to use a tampon, you certainly can't do that when you're a virgin. And I was a virgin for a very long time.
I was honestly worried. I didn't use a tampon for the first 2 or 3 years.
We had a trip to Bear Mountain. My mother said, there are bears up there. And if they smell your blood from your period,
oh
they're liable
God.
To attack you.
What?
So I didn't go.
I was convinced that boys knew.
Is that true? We talked
and that
to
they wouldn't talk to me if they knew. And when you're 13, that's the end of the world.
Started in ancient Greece. Menstrual blood took on this power that a woman who had her period could kill a horse. If she.
By the way, that is an author and period historian.
You looked at it.
Why are we making fun of that?
I'm not.
Menstruating woman
walked
attention.
Through a field, all
Don't
the crops would
it.
Die. And you couldn't go swimming. That was definitely you couldn't
Leviticus
go swimming.
Leviticus says you
Sharks
can't be touched
would
by anybody.
You and anyone with you
Probably
because
for the
they
best.
Smell the blood. You were terrified.
I think the most dangerous myth that I heard is that you can't get pregnant when you're on your period.
Never questioned why. It was something that the elders passed down to us. And it wasn't just my mother. It was all the mothers.
I'm 23 years old, and I'm still trying to balance out myth and fact at this point. And I'm ready to bust the myths and prove that they're not true.
Oh, if you baked bread, it would never rise. There was something in you that would cause the bread to go flat.
Like anti-yeast?
I've never heard that one before.
It's like a yeast infection, I guess.
Most of these other myths have been debunked every other month in 17
it's
Magazine.
It's going to turn sour. You have your period.
Of all things, spaghetti
these are myths.
Sauce.
I've never even
I learned that, I learned that myth on The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Where you could possibly think
oh, it must be true then.
Something happening down I've here
never heard
has something to do with the ingredients in your hands.
And my grandmother knew all the weird myths. She never told us this one.
Did she tell you them thinking that they
That's
were true?
No, she never told us. I
okay.
never heard the tomato sauce. And she would have. If that was a myth in her corner of Italy, she would have told us.
They can do yoga. They can do anything during their periods. So many girls grow up with mothers who don't talk about it. And since there aren't open conversation, if you hear something or if you read something, there's nobody there to dispel it.
Wait
Can
a minute.
The whole world
they don't talk
have
about
this
that?
Information Sorry. And have it be wrong? Well, yes, they can be wrong. I don't know how we ever survived.
Here are the facts. None of this that you've been believing from your grandmother, your mother, or your friends in grade school.
They're all
those
lying.
Are all just myths and you should be caring about the facts.
More than half of girls think it's hard to separate myth from fact. But with You by Kotex, you can change this. Download your own Bust a Myth kit and crush those urban legends.
So, you can download your own Bust a Myth kit.
I don't know. Again, I'm not sure where we're mocking it.
I wasn't mocking it.
A little bit.
Well,
it's okay. It's a comedy show. We're supposed to mock things.
Well, the mocking was the how ridiculous the myths are, really. That's what we were laughing at.
Yeah. They're a bit ridiculous, but I think from what I recall, they're in like the sixth grade they have the like boys go to one room to learn about the changes that are occurring, and girls get like we get like a box from some
so to speak
tampon manufacturing mm-hmm. company, yes, giving us like free samples of stuff and trying to hook us on their products forever, and every time it included a booklet of these myths like you can't go swimming or you can't take a shower or you can't. Do a number of things. And the virgin thing, that's been a myth forever. Except that, frankly, I mean, depending on how you define virginity, you're putting something up in that joint.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know.
You could break the seal, is what you're saying?
The seal is usually broken on girls long before they get to that point. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't know. It just depends on how you define. No, it's not a person.
Right.
So, but that's up to a girl, her god, her church, her mom, whatever, and, in terms of how they define the activity.
And the first one, I have, and I'm not going to say which person it was, but I have had a partner in my past who could not locate their tampon.
Just once or multiple times?
Just once.
Okay.
Who called me in, and it wasn't really a big deal. It was just one of those things where you can see what you're doing. You're like, oh, yeah, there's the string.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it can be. Well, I mean, condoms can get lost there, too. And
it's just like
car keys
down there. No.
Car keys, wristwatches.
It's also mysterious.
I know. It's very mysterious. But
I guess I'm naive to have not realized. I mean, I feel like as a guy who has never had a period, I feel like. But then I guess I wouldn't be bombarded with the myths being a guy who's never had a period.
Yeah, I mean,
but
I just don't know. I don't know. But I think this is good. I think it's good marketing. And I think it's not. you know, not in a cynical way. I think it's a nice thing, a nice, you know, campaign that they're waging there. But those, if you ever had a like a YM subscription or 17 subscription or any of those, they had every 3 months or so you had the like the period myths article. So busted. These things are told. But in some, you know, in some cultures, I suppose.
They should walk around Portland wearing tampons and nothing else as an educational tool. I'm sure people understand what they're
That'd
trying to say.
Very hard to walk around and show off the tampons.
The myths,
just the string.
And the myths are weird, but I cannot, as a guy, I cannot imagine the horror, the absolute abject horror that I would feel if I were to suddenly have a period. I mean, I cannot even...
That is how you feel when you're 14, yeah, or 13, that's... or 10, or whatever, and suddenly have a period. It's terrible.
Oh, so I know. I saw the episode of Mad Men.
It's always hella inconvenient.
Oh my goodness, I can. Yeah, just without any warning. I imagine back in the day, no one talked about that.
Yeah, thing. it was Don Draper's daughter. I forget her name now, but she
Sally.
Yeah, Sally Draper got bleeding. Sally Draper got her period, and she was
no, but it is terrible. But you know, I remember when I was 14. And I'm the girl here. I'm going to go ahead and
dating
right.
a 28-year-old man.
Yeah. Not quite. No. I think I was 14 in the eighth grade, which is kind of towards like the late bloomer stage. I think most girls are like 12 to 13.
Mm-hmm.
I remember coming home from school and being like, oh my God, Mom, I got my period. Mom's all, you know, I thought you were going to any time now. And I'm all, thanks for telling me. Why couldn't you? If you thought something was going on, why didn't you tell me? I mean, I was probably acting like a maniac or sleeping all the time. Or I don't know what I was doing.
Mm.
But I'm like, what?
Bears were following
Mom,
you home.
Why didn't you warn me?
I remember begging her like not to tell my grandmother because when my older sister got in her period, my grandmother's always like, did you hear? Your sister's a woman.
Oh, God.
And I was just like, please don't. Can we not tell? Let's not tell Dad. Let's not tell Grandma. Let's not tell anybody. Let's just not talk about it.
Now, did you have any dogs when you were a kid growing up?
Yeah, it was never a problem.
Okay. Because bears.
There were pretty bears.
Well, no. And again, apparently I'm going to break all of these myths as true. Because I went to school with some girls who were they were joking about it, but it was absolutely true because they were both in high school and they're like, oh yeah, the dog won't leave us alone.
Like trying to hump them or just sniffing
their crotch?
No,
just sniffing the crotch.
Dogs sniff crotch all the time.
Though. Yeah, but it was more intense.
Well, I don't know.
It was one of those
things.
I don't
know. I wouldn't have it. I didn't. My dog's never displayed that kind of behavior that I'm aware of.
Hmm.
Well, there you go.
So.
Now, so that's an education thing. The other thing, this came out about a year ago. Summer's Eve decided they were going to...
Terrible product, never use it.
They were going to empower women with
douches
these.
Douches are not healthy. It's a good, like, insult word. It's the cradle of life. Oh, God.
Is this Survivor? It's the center. Douche? Of
civilization. Oh, they're making all these, like, V shapes with their arms.
Like Africa, the jungle.
Was this when that James Cameron movie was popular? What was it called? Over the
ages. I don't know.
With the blue people. The
Avatar.
Yeah. What is going on? Men fought for it. I'm sorry.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Battled for it.
Even died for it. So keep it clean, ladies. One might say. It's the most powerful thing on
earth. So come on, ladies. Show it a little love. Cleansing wash and cloths from Summer's
freaked
Eve.
Freaked out the cat.
No.
Freaked out the cat. I didn't even.
No.
No?
As good as that other video was, no.
So
absolutely not.
So you're saying it's not that. I mean, they're both education
Holy
things.
Holy shit.
What's the education
in
there?
In that same myth-busting article that appeared in the youth mag, in the like teen magazines right. all the time, was another article saying, don't do this. Well, this is terribly unhealthy.
Well, these aren't actual douches. It's from Summer's Eve who makes douches. These are just the cleansing cloths to take a whore bath or something. I don't know.
I don't.
Take a what?
Whore bath.
I don't know. They still sell any of that stuff. You shouldn't be using weird chemicals on yourself. It's a very delicate pH system.
Or in yourself.
Take a shower. Eat some yogurt. Everything's fine.
Drink some cranberry juice. Is that a thing?
That's a different hole.
That's
a UTI.
That's urinary tract. But you're close.
Which, you know, I mean,
right
for a dude, that would be, they'd be analogous systems. But also important, yes, yogurt, cranberry juice, you know, but
Don't douche. Whatever you do,
I just
don't
love.
Don't be a douche.
Friends don't let friends douche.
It was this huge campaign, this Hail to the V campaign, and they had like
it's
online
funny.
Had online testing, like how well do you know your V? And I am a fucking expert. I will say that I scored 5 out of 5.
Well, what were the questions?
I don't remember.
Where is your vagina? Hey. Down, but I don't
well, there
know.
Was there was one. It was like identify these parts, and it was like a drawing of a lady's private parts.
Okay.
Was there a G spot?
No, that's inside.
You know what I? You
if
know what
it
I don't
exists,
like? I don't like. I don't like the trend of calling everything vagina when they're talking about exterior stuff because that's not where it is.
No. This and this was everything from the mons pubis to the clitoris.
Like when they talk about like you know like Britney gets out of a car, showing everyone her vagina. No. She wasn't.
Mons pubis.
She was not.
But yeah, this drawing went all the way to the anus. It include. I love it when the drawings include the anus. And then you have to identify it, and I'm like, who got that one wrong? Do you really not? Do
that, I don't know, but that was his excuse, and he was sticking to it.
Do you really not know your anus from a hole in the ground? Honestly.
Hold, well, that's part of, you know, but that's, that, yeah. Frankly, is it wasn't included on the myth thing, but that, for a lot of girls, when they come, you know, they're someone gives them a tampon, they haven't spent any time in that region, even though it's part of their body.
Right.
Usually because they're told not to.
Don't touch that.
Yeah. And again, things that we learn from Sally Draper and Mad Men.
Right.
But that's, you know, that's, that can be scary for like a 13-year-old to be like, what,
I
you want me to do what, where now?
Who? Put where in the hoop? Yeah.
I can't even imagine. So. I cannot even imagine.
Being a lady is tough.
So anytime I start to get frustrated with women, I just throw myself into that, and I'm like, you've been through so much. I can't
Do you know what's
imagine.
Great? Do you know what's great? Childbirth, not great. Pregnancy's not great. But pregnancy, not having to worry about that for that time. And then if you nurse, depending on, but it stays away for a really long time.
Ooh.
So I didn't.
I'm sold.
It was great not having. The bad thing is when your fertility returns, as it were. It's like going through puberty all over again.
Does your voice change? Oh, wait. No,
your voice doesn't change, but like I got, you know, like acne again, the mood swings.
Wow.
And even though I knew what was going on, I was like, oh my God, I hate everything. I'm sorry. I'm so happy.
Let's go shopping.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Really bad. That shit is real.
So last night I'm sitting at home and I get a message from our friend and former co-host of this podcast, Larry Mead. And this is what he says to me. OMG, a friend of mine from LA thinks you are hot. He's a doctor. If you ever decide to go gay, you will be popular. Sorry, that was really random. But he sent me a message asking if you were gay.
That's nice. Do you feel flattered?
I do. I mean, he told them that
E-Harmony doesn't pan out.
Well, I could only be like a tease. I wouldn't go all the way. I'd be like a terrible tease. I'd be like, yeah, let's go to the Lakers game.
Keep it above the waist.
Yeah, let's go to the Lakers game. Sure, we'll hug. Yeah, oh. Well. No. I'm not.
We can
I'm
spoon.
Just. No,
that's fine.
That's fine. That's fine. It'll be a little good. No. I take it as a compliment. It was just a very random thing.
Do you think more women feel like they could go?
Yes.
Same sex than guys.
Oh
could.
God,
and
yeah.
Not in like an offensive like. All lady porn kind of way, but
I think that
guys just really can't imagine being intimate with another guy.
No,
it?
No,
I'm just too uncomfortable to
just
think
don't
about.
Like penises?
No,
all.
Not at
How
all.
Do you think
not
we
even
feel?
My own.
Well,
you love them. I know it. Just kidding.
What?
No. Women love penises. Just kidding.
No, I think that there are a lot of women who will experiment with same sex relationships more so than men do. Just as part of like, guys are jerks, and this is kind of better.
I have no choice but to go. Well, I think just as many guys think like women are jerks.
Yeah, but at no point does a guy go, women are a giant pain in my ass. I think I'll get a dude
and have a pain in my ass.
Yeah.
No,
oh,
no, that's never a thought that pops into a straight dude's mind.
I call shenanigans on that. I think it's like so. I think culture tells you not. You know, part of.
No.
Some strong veins of culture tell you not to have those thoughts, but I bet there's more. I bet there's more guys out there who think like, "Yeah, I don't know."
Well,
I'm not super closed off to the idea.
I disagree wholeheartedly because
it's your experience. I don't think you can say that for everybody.
Well, I think it goes to the whole mindset that you're born gay or you're born straight. Now, I'm sure there are people that are born that could go either way, but.
It's
just
a continuum.
Just as sure as Larry was from an early age knew that he preferred men.
Right.
I'm completely on the other end of the spectrum, and there's no crossover.
I don't know. Maybe I must be more in the middle on the Kinsey scale than I thought.
Well, you are a lady. There you go.
But I don't know. Well, that lady, like, that's. So if you're a lady, then you're automatically going to be like different on the scale, or is it just a person thing, or is it gender broad?
Now there are some women that are as violently opposed to same-sex couplings as anybody is, but I think that more women would be open to it just because women's relationships with each other are already partially there, like. Hugging and touching and touch my boobs.
They have a more intimate relationship. Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah,
are you saying like when we're in really close friendships, we're already at that late stage of relationship where we're not having sex anymore anyway.
Could be.
So we may as well.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those. it's a comfort level, and a lot of the things that women are looking for in relationships are comfort and security and a stability.
Sex.
But then, yeah, there's a sex thing. I don't know. Because you think, yeah, women will know how to please more than a man. I don't know. But I don't want a penis in me.
You don't have to.
You could be a top.
No, it's all weird.
I don't like. I'm happy with women.
Yeah.
Like,
well, me too.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got some happiness.
I'm not saying you guys should like try something else.
Stop pressuring us to kiss.
But it's good to know that Nate has options.
Yeah, it is.
But it's flattering.
And
it's
wealthy
flattering
options.
To have.
He's wealthy?
Oh, he's a doctor in LA. So I'm going to go with he has more money than I do.
That's true.
Okay.
But no, and I found it. I wasn't like, oh my God, get away. I was like, oh, well, that's nice. I appreciate that. That's I consider flattering. It a compliment.
Yeah, definitely.
One time a porn star said I was hot, and I was like, that, I'm going to live on that. A woman? Porn star.
Is it one we'd know?
Oh, God, maybe. I don't know. I don't know my porn stars. But they have, so the,
I like the story,
maybe more than I should, but the, there's something called the Free Speech Coalition, which is actually like the adult entertainment industry lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was working in the Capitol, it's years ago now, they had their lobby day, and they came into the office, and they were just like, they're just kind of different. Like, they were still wearing suits, but the like skirts were kind of short.
Mm-hmm.
And shoes were a little bit like spike, although now those shoes are everywhere. Like the porn star shoes. But and she was I'm gonna blank on her name, but she was in Boogie Nights, like she was a very famous porn actress.
Heather Graham.
No. She's the one who was always she played what's his name's wife, William H. Macy's wife, who's always like banging some other dude and telling him to like get out of the room being weird. Anyway, it was her and like a producer and something. So we were chatting about free speech stuff because I think it was the only one in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, sure, I do First Amendment stuff. And so, and it was right around, this was a time there was a syphilis scare. There was something in the industry and some people were considering legislation at that time. And so we talked and then they invited every office to come to their reception and the Sheraton after. And a lot of people don't go like, because whatever, because they're closed minded. But I remember like I was joking with them about Chatsworth or something and they're like, oh, you really know your porn industry, and, and I'm like, no, I'm just from LA and I've seen Boogie Nights, it's fine. And that's when the other guy was like, she was in Boogie Nights. And I went, oh my God, I love that movie. So anyway, so a friend of mine and I went to check out the reception, and as I was walking into the room,
Nina Hartley,
that's what
she's a classic from the 80s.
She was really nice, very smart lady.
Was she hot?
I guess
she's almost 50.
She's
now
pretty. Yeah,
she's a little older now.
She was, I don't know, she was fine.
Okay.
And so, I was walking into the reception and then a couple other people were walking out who were kind of clearly industry people. I didn't recognize them from the Capitol. And one of them said, oh, she's hot, as she passed me talking about me.
Aww.
I had to confirm there was a witness. And I was like, thanks. I don't know why, but I thought that was nice.
You have a fallback career.
Maybe.
And I'm told the doctor also listens to the podcast. So hello, sir. Thank you for the compliment. It's much appreciated.
The doctor.
The good doctor.
Dr. Love.
So it's nice.
Dr. Feel Nate.
It's just nice to be appreciated, right?
Yes.
Cheers to that. People recognizing us for our many attractive qualities.
Yeah. And the lesson I guess knowledge I would have for people that made no sense, but if somebody gives you a compliment or thinks you're attractive, the fact that they are the same sex as you and you're not gay should not mean you greet it with like, oh my God, I'm so grossed out.
It shouldn't turn into that end scene from American Beauty.
Yeah, it should not ever turn into that. end scene for American Beauty.
Spoiler alert.
Shot in Sacramento.
It doesn't end well.
So there you go. Got some good news, too. 7-year-old Luca Apps spent his Christmas money on a Lego Ninjago ultrasonic Raider set.
That is good news.
Mm-hmm.
I got two of those.
But the small pieces, they're easy to lose, and they don't call them minifigures for nothing. Now, against his father's recommendation, it always happens that way, Luca took his newly purchased JZX shopping, and then the figure went missing.
I think he liked Jay-Z, like a tiny Lego Jay-Z, like a tiny Lego Beyonce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
So Luca was not one to admit defeat, decided to write a letter to the good people at Lego seeking a replacement. It says, "Hello, my name is Luca Apps, and I'm 7 years old.
And I live on the second floor?
With all my money I got for Christmas, I bought a Ninjago kit of the ultrasonic Raider. The number is 9449. It is really good. My daddy just took me to the Sainsbury's and told me to leave the people at home. But I took them and lost JZX at the shop as it fell out of my coat. I'm really upset I've lost him.
Oh,
daddy said send you an email to see if you will send me another one. I promise I won't take him to the shop again if you can. Luca." Now, a short time later, Luca got a reply from Richard, who's the Lego customer service representative. He wrote that he had spoken to Sensei Wu, who is, of course, the master from the Ninjago line. Who doesn't know that?
I totally knew that.
He responded, "Luca, I told Sensei Wu that losing your J minifigure was purely an accident and you would never, ever let it happen again." Apparently, Lego is centered in Maine.
I was wondering about that.
"He told me to tell you, Luca, your father seems like a wise man. You must always protect your Ninjago minifigures like the dragons protect the weapons of Spinjuzabudubudaba."
Spinjuz what?
I don't know.
Okay.
Sensei Wu also told me that it was okay if I sent you a new J, and told me it would be okay if I included something extra.
Is he on a porch with a banjo? What's that voice?
Because anyone who saves their Christmas money to buy an ultrasonic Raider must be a really big Ninjago fan. So, yeah. The nice people at Lego replaced Luca's Ninjago. So that was a nice story.
Feel good story of the decade.
Yeah.
Good job, Lego.
Yeah, I thought it was really nice, one, to go, hey, what you did this, why don't you write them and ask for something? So the kid learned a nice little lesson, hopefully.
Yeah, if you lose something, you can just ask for it, and it'll be taken care of by someone else.
If you ask nicely, then it could be.
It could be, you're right.
He admitted he did something wrong, so that's good.
Okay.
He took responsibility for his actions, promised it wouldn't happen again.
As long as you know that in real life, you still sometimes just shit out of luck, even when you admit.
Yeah, that's the way it really works. Speaking of asking people nicely for stuff, hey, if you're going to go to Amazon and buy stuff anyway, we really, really appreciate it if you would first go to the website, natedarlingshow.com, and click the Shop Amazon tab, because it doesn't cost you anything extra to do that, and anything that you buy from Amazon that way, we get a tiny little percentage, and it helps us pay for things like the website and bandwidth and... helps keep us in business, keeps the lights on around here, so to speak. So, if you're a shop local guy, then cool, shop local. But if you're going to go to Amazon anyway, go to our website first and click on through.
You
we
can
do
shop.
Appreciate
Some
it.
Some local stores will use Amazon,
as resellers.
Sell stuff, so you can always look for that.
So we've got that, and we do appreciate it. So now we've reached. God, flew right by all this vagina talk and Pat Robertson in one place.
Wow,
I know it's craziness.
He wouldn't approve of the vagina talk.
By the way,
he
hockey
doesn't approve of the vagina.
Well, that's sad.
Pretty sure.
Hockey is back, by the way. First game Saturday. Saturday. NHL is back.
Don't care.
That's right. Hockey's back.
The cats are not
is
happy.
Is that a hockey sound? You just scared the crap out of your
Is that
cat.
A Zamboni honking?
That is the sound of a goal being scored in Montreal.
I don't like hockey.
I love hockey.
That's annoying. I went to a hockey game.
Okay, hockey's okay.
I went to one hockey game. I had no idea what was going on, but it was very exciting.
Yeah.
I was like, the rules are beyond me, so I don't know.
They're pretty simple, but someone has to explain them to you.
Yeah,
and you have to
problem.
Take a little time.
Like, look, they stopped the game for some reason. Now they're... they stopped it again.
Why are their hats on the ice?
Oh, now they're fighting. Is that part of the game?
What's going on?
What's happening here?
I don't know.
Small town news.
All right. End of the show means it's time for small town news. And we're following up on a story we've been following on the show since last summer. Remember Roger Peon? He's the guy who drove a tractor over 6 cruisers up in Derby, Vermont at the sheriff's department.
How could I forget?
He turned into this big internet hero, and people were like, Viva Roger Peon and free Roger Peon. Well, based on medical records and a stipulation by the state's attorney, Roger Peon is currently incompetent to stand trial.
Huh.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
He sounds so level-headed, though.
He drove a tractor over seven vehicles that were parked behind the Orleans County Sheriff's Department. He is in the custody of the Commissioner of Mental Health and being held at Fletcher Allen Healthcare in Burlington.
That's too bad.
Well, not real surprising.
I totally know where that is. That's Burlington? My best friend worked. No, Fletcher Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I totally know where that is.
Can you remind me why people thought he was a hero? Was he making a statement or was he just... Well, that shit insane.
The idea was that he was tired of being harassed by the police, and the police were following him and like hanging out near the end of his road and just waiting for him and that sort of thing. And then he had had enough and was fighting back against the man.
Oh,
nice. So
he made this. He was educating people by making a statement.
Sure.
I don't know.
His attorney, David Slay, says, "I think the competency statute always allows the state to revisit competency. But I think the procedure is if you were to find him incompetent at this point, then there would be a hospitalization hearing to automatically be triggered. He believes hospitalization could lead to the dismissal of the criminal case against Peon. However, the state could always file the charges again if it feels that his competency has been restored enough for him to stand trial." I don't understand that. It's like, did he become incompetent between the time he ran over all of the cruisers? Was he incompetent before...
I'm guessing before, but
yeah,
I choose.
Me too.
Tool.
So yeah, that's the update on the case because it's the ultimate in small town news is what happens in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont.
Yeah,
and it's one we followed on the podcast, so I figured I would bring it through to the final result, which is he's in the loony bin.
Wow, power to him.
That's not politically correct at all, is it?
No,
he's not in the loony bin. He's at the state hospital.
He's in the CRISPR.
He's in the CRISPR.
In the CRISPR.
That's where you put carrots. Oh shit!
I can't get angry at a good use of the CRISPR. That never happened.
Oh, that was a fantastic callback to last week, Ted. Well done,
thank
sir.
You. I'm all about callbacks. Hope people know what I'm talking about.
Cheers to you if you listened last week. And hey, to all of our new listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another episode of the Nate Darling Show. We promise it'll be just as nutty. Not maybe not as nutty as Roger Peon, but you know what can you expect? But I have to wonder. I want to visit these groups because there are groups on Facebook. I want to find them all on Facebook, you know, the Free Roger Peon people, and go, "Hey, you idiots! You were just out there going rah, 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 for a crazy guy." Free Roger Peon, he's a patriot and a spokesman for us all. Yeah, seriously, these were legitimate things that were said on the internet, and if it's said on the internet, you know it must be true.
Hell
that's
yeah.
That's how it rolls.
Wouldn't be online.
I don't question anything.
I don't either. I think it's best that way.
Never.
Anyway, y'all have a good week. Enjoy it. We'll have more fun and frivolity for you next time. Enjoy your Martin Luther King weekend. Yeah.